Hello and welcome to episode number 17 of the Lunch Table Talk podcast. In today's episode, I'm going to be giving you my standings and record predictions for all 30 MLB teams. Starting off with the American League East, I guess I'll go from bottom to the top. So coming in last place in the AL East, I have, to no one's surprise, the Baltimore Orioles. They do have some good guys up there, not going to lie. Or maybe that's just my bias coming in. But nevertheless, Baltimore does have... They have all-star John Means, who unfortunately won't be starting for them. On opening day, I believe he had some back issues to deal with. So he will not be getting a start on Friday. They have Trey Mancini, but he is out for the season due to colon cancer. Hopefully he gets well soon and back up and ready for the next season. But other than those two all-stars, they still have Hanser Alberto, who's pretty good, hits for a lot of average, mainly off lefties. I believe he had over a 350 average against lefties last season. So as long as he can face some lefties in lineup, I think he'll be just fine. The catcher position is a big issue for them in these past few seasons. But luckily, they have a great catcher in the farm system in Adley Rutschman, who won't be helping them this season, but in seasons to come, he'll certainly be a huge help. They also have Renato Nunez, who quietly hit, I believe, over 40 home runs last season. So they have him at the four spot, I hope. And, I mean, Chris Davis, he's been an issue for that team ever since 2014, so... Hopefully he can hit a little better. I mean, any upward change in that average is good. So, Baltimore Orioles, number 5 in the AL East. In fourth place, I have the Toronto Blue Jays. Or, I guess you could call them the Baltimore Jays this season, because it does look like they're going to be playing at Camden Yards as their home field. They do have tons of young talent with Kevon Biggio, Bo Bichette, Vlad Guerrero Jr., and Lourdes Gurriel, and they also picked up Cy Young winner off the Dodgers, Hyun-Jin Ryu. So I think this team could potentially finish third in this division, but I just think that the teams ahead of them are just better than them for this upcoming season. Although, like I said, it could be close between number 4 and number 3. And number 3, I have the Boston Red Sox. They lost Chris Sale due to an injury, and so that means Eduardo Rodriguez is going to be their new number one, and I believe he is starting on opening day. They have some okay hitters in Rafael Devers. Xander Bogaerts even could end up being a Dark Horse MVP candidate. Wouldn't be too surprised to see him make the top three list when the season is all said and done, but I don't think he's quite there yet. Maybe next season... He could. I think he's a good enough player to be considered an MVP candidate, if that's kind of where I'm going with that. So at number 2, I have the Tampa Bay Rays, and despite being second in the division, I think they'll probably finish with the second or third best record in the American League. I'm a firm believer in their pitching. I think it's very, very good. They have Blake Snell, who won the Cy Young just 2 years ago, Tyler Glasnow, Charlie Morton, Ryan Yarbrough, and the rookie Brendan McKay. Pitching is certainly what's going to give them most of their wins. With Austin Meadows, he's now out due to COVID-19, and Willie Adames, he's still there, but he's not as a productive hitter as Brendan Lowe or Austin Meadows or any of those guys up there. And at number 1, I have the New York Yankees. Should be probably no surprise. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have the Yankees as their World Series winners for the season, which I certainly don't blame them, but I don't want to see the Yankees win their 27th ring. I really don't. Severino. That's Orioles catcher. He's terrible. Luis Severino, he's out for the season. He had due to an injury. Chapman may be out due to the virus. I haven't heard an update, but I think he'll be good to go. He may be out the first, like, four or five games, but I think he should be cleared soon to be go ahead and pitch for the Yankees. Domingo Herman retired, as we saw. He released that news on Instagram. And, I mean, but the pitching should be fine. They still have Marisena Tanaka. And, obviously, Gerrit Cole considered one of the best pitchers in the league, which is completely a fair statement. Not to mention the hitting. Stanton, hopefully he can stay healthy along with Aaron Judge. Just fun to see those guys hit missiles into the stands. Just not against the Orioles, but, I mean, it's bound to happen. Speaking of the Yankees versus the Orioles, Gleyber Torres is also there. He's really the he pretty much owns our team when he plays us. They also have Gio Urshela, who kind of just showed up out of nowhere last year, along with DJ LeMahieu, who finished third in the MVP voting last season. So, very good squad up there in New York. Starting off the American League Central in last place, I have the Detroit Tigers. Miguel Cabrera led that team in average last season with a .282 batting average. Now, a .282 batting average isn't terrible. I mean, it's better than Bryce Harper. But having your guy as... having a guy on the downside of his career, way past his prime, in his 37-year-old season, batting .282 and that being your best player, nothing shouldn't really excite you. Miguel Cabrera also had only 12 home runs, so that being your best player doesn't get you real excited about the future. I mean, they're leader in home runs last season with Brandon Dixon with only 15. Not sure the last time a home run leader for a team was in the teens. It may happen more often than I think, but at least teams like Baltimore and Seattle do have home run hitters like Renato Nunez and Daniel Vogelbach. So, Detroit at 5. Oh, I forgot to mention, they also do have Matthew Boyd, who is a very quality pitcher. I think he, anywhere else, anywhere with, like, a true number one starter, I think he could be a very, very good number two. I'm just not sure if he is able to lead a pitching staff yet. And at number four, I have the Kansas City Royals. The Royals, they do have Whit Merrifield, very good player, all-star potential, certainly. Salvador Perez is coming back after an injury. Not sure how he's going to bounce back. A lot of people think that he is on the downslope of his career, which wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't be surprised if he came back and didn't do as well as he did in seasons past. But that's just age, and that's what every player does that. So I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't do amazing on that team anymore. They do have Jorge Soler, who he was close to leading the home runs in the league last season, but Pete Alonso took that spot from him. So yeah, they do have some good guys on the hitting department and the defensive side of the ball. So Salvador Perez, Jorge Soler is going to hit plenty of bombs this season. Whit Merrifield's going to get on base a ton. But the pitching is really where the issue is with Kansas City. Their number one right now is Brad Keller, and I don't think he's a number one at all. Number three, I have the Cleveland Indians. There's rumors in the air that Lindor may be gone soon, which does suck for Cleveland. That would suck for any team, though. Lindor is a fantastic player, and is, I think he's an MVP candidate pretty much every year that he plays. So, yeah, Lindor being gone would severely hurt that team. But they still do have some other guys up there that can really hit. On the other side, though, their pitching, I'm a really big fan of. They do have Mike Clevinger and Shane Bieber, who I both think could make a run for the Cy Young this season. And they also have Carlos Carrasco coming back. So, yeah, I am a big fan of their pitching. All those guys are fun to watch. And the infield is just so much better than the outfield. It's, yeah, a lot different out there in Cleveland. In the number two spot in the AL Central, I have the Chicago White Sox. The pitching does worry me a bit, but they do have Lucas Giolito and Dallas Keuchel. They lost Michael Kopech. He did opt out. But those two guys, I think they'll be able to hold down the fort for a little bit. But the pitching isn't too much of a problem because they're probably going to score around 10 runs per game. They have guys up there, Tim Anderson, Jose Abreu, Eloy Jimenez, Luis Robert. There's so many guys up there that's going to constantly get on base, constantly get runs. And so hopefully the pitching doesn't have to be stellar so that team can, for that team to succeed. And capping off the AL Central, I have the Minnesota Twins. They do have some pretty good guys up on that pitching staff. No one who's going to be at the All-Star level, but I do think their top three in their bullpen is good enough to put them in the number one spot, along with the hitting as well. They have guys like Kenta Maeda, who from the Dodgers, Jose Berrios, and Jake Odorizzi. And I also like Taylor Rogers. He's in the bullpen, and I think he has some really good stuff that could really help them win some games. Like I said, the pitchers are pretty solid, but their hitters are certainly where they're going to beat a lot of the teams with. They have the Bringer of Rain, Josh Donaldson, Jorge Polanco, Miguel Sano, Max Kepler, Nelson Cruz, Eddie Rosario, Mitch Garver. And those are just off the top of my head, so I'm sure they have plenty of other guys out there that are going to help them score runs. But those seven that I listed is a great starting lineup and should be just fine and enough runs to make the Minnesota Twins the number one spot in the AL Central. On to the American League West. Coming in last place, I have the Seattle Mariners. And if I'm going to be honest, no one on this team excites me. At least with like the Orioles and the Tigers and the Marlins, I have guys that I'm excited to watch, like Renato Nunez, Hanser Alberto, Matt Boyd, Sixto Sanchez, Jonathan Villar. Can you tell I'm an Orioles fan yet? But yeah, Seattle, there's not a lot going for this team. Pitching is hitting is not great. Shed Long, Daniel Vogelbach leading your team is not something that you want. So Seattle at number 5. The number 4 spot, I have the Texas Rangers. Their starting pitchers aren't really that bad. They do have Corey Kluber, Lance Lynn, and Mike Minor. I'm interested to see where Lynn and Minor fall within the pitching staff because Kluber is most likely going to be that number 1 guy. They don't have many hitters besides Joey Gallo, which is kind of worrying just because who's going to get on base for him to knock in all the runs. So we'll certainly see this season. At number 3, I have the Oakland Athletics. One of, if not the best corner duos in the league with Matt Chapman and Matt Olson. Besides that, they have Sean Manaea in the pitching staff. They have Liam Hendricks, who could have won Closer of the Year last season, but was unfortunately robbed by, I believe, Aroldis Chapman. Who else do they have up there? Frankie Montas. He did use PEDs, which did certainly help him last season, but who knows, maybe he'll come out of nowhere, and maybe the PEDs weren't that much of an effector on his game, and maybe he is just that good. So Liam Hendricks, Frankie Montas, Sean Manaea, Chris Davis, hopefully he can get that average above 247, what it's been the last 5 years, I believe, and they still have Ramon Laureano, great arm in the outfield, and Mark Canha and some other solid guys out in the outfield. But, Marcus Semien, of course, to cap off that infield. So, yeah, they have a pretty good infield squad, just not enough, I think, to get them over this number 2 team. And coming in at number 2 in the AL West, I have the Los Angeles Dodgers with two potential MVP candidates. You may be able to put 3 in there with Anthony Rendon now on the squad, but I just believe that the pitching isn't enough with Bundy and Tehran being their 1 and 2. Just I don't think it's going to be enough to get them into that number 1 spot. And coming in at number one, I have the Houston Astros. They did lose Garrett Cole, but they still have Justin Verlander, Zach Greinke, and Roberto Osuna. So, not too worried about the pitching staff. Verlander is, he's great in the spotlight. He's had, he's been the number one guy in, up in Detroit for a while. So I think he'll do just fine with the number and the number one spot. Same with Zach Greinke in the number two. Not to mention their hitting. They have Jose Altuve still, Martin Maldonado, Alex Bregman, Yuli Gurriel. Sorry, couldn't speak there. But yeah, really good squad. Although the stealing sign thing did certainly help that team, I still think the guys are good enough to win a ton of games without them. Moving on to the National League. I guess I'll start with the National League West. I'll start in last place with the Miami Marlins. They got Jonathan Villar and Jesus Aguilar, who hopefully can be good for that squad. Jesus Aguilar did have a down year last year. Hopefully he can pick that up. Like the season he was in the home run derby, he hit so many home runs, it was crazy. Hopefully we can see that Jesus Aguilar with the Miami Marlins. And Jonathan Villar quietly had a very, very good season last year. He's a very underrated player, probably just because he plays with not the best of teams. He played with the Brewers a few years ago when they weren't very good. Played with the Orioles last year, second worst team in the league, and now he's going to be with Miami. On the pitching side, they have Caleb Smith, who had his moments last year. He was top 10 in ERA for a short amount of time, and they also have Sandy Alcantara and Jose Urena, who are both pretty solid guys. And the rookie, Sixto Sanchez, I'm really excited to watch him if he ever gets called up this season. And number four, I have the Philadelphia Phillies. On the pitching side, they do have Aaron Nola, but really no one else. They gave Jake Arrieta that huge contract to give them a 4.5 ERA. Now, while 4.5 isn't terrible, it's certainly not what they paid for. They do have plenty of good hitters and defenders. They have the best catcher in the league, I believe, in J2 Realmuto, and another top 20 player in Bryce Harper. And they also have guys, Rhys Hoskins, Jay Bruce. So I don't think they're going to have any problem scoring runs. In the three spot in the NL East, I have the Washington Nationals. They do have great pitching. They still have Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg, who have been dominant on that roster for a long time coming. They also have Patrick Corbin on that starting rotation and guys in the bullpen, Tanner Rainey, Daniel Hudson as well, and Sean Doolittle. And I saw I mentioned they do have a fourth pretty good starter in Anibal Sanchez. So pitching doesn't worry me in the slightest, but I do worry about their hitters. Ryan Zimmerman opted out, and they lost Rendon and Juan Soto. Juan Soto may not be out long, but the fact that he does have the virus does scare me a little bit. Hopefully he can come back stronger and help that team. So, yeah, I'm not really sure who's going to be scoring runs. Victor Robles, obviously, is a good player. Hopefully Eric Thames brought some of that stuff from the overseas squad he played with last year. And obviously Trey Turner is going to be a very solid guy. He'll hit for plenty of average and steal a ton of bases for that team. The number two spot, I have the New York Mets. And as long as Edwin Diaz can contribute unlike last season, there's not too much I dislike about this team, if I'm being honest. And even if Edwin Diaz doesn't contribute like he has been known to with Seattle, they still have Seth Lugo, who is a pretty good closer. Obviously, Jacob DeGrom and Noah Syndergaard. And actually, no, Zach Wheeler is now on the Phillies. Should have mentioned that when I was talking about the Phillies. But yeah, Zach Wheeler is over there in Philadelphia now. Their hitters on the Mets, they have McNeil. Pete Alonso led the league in homers last year. Who else? J.D. Davis, Travis d'Arnaud left. They have Wilson Ramos. So, yeah, they have some pretty good guys up there. So, I'm not too worried about this New York squad making the playoffs. The number one seed, Number one spot in the National League East, I have the Atlanta Braves. I really do like their three top starters in Mike Foltynewicz, Max Soroka and Max Fried. And they had a top five closer in Will Smith. Hopefully he can play this season. He does have the virus right now, but hopefully he can come back better than ever and help that team close out some games. They have Ronald Acuna on the hitting side, who could definitely win the MVP. They also have Ozzy Albies, Marcell Ozuna, Freddie Freeman, Echeverria, Dansby Swanson, and Austin Riley. So yeah, I think this team will be very, very good. On to the National League Central. Coming in last place, I have the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm not really sure who their number one pitcher is going to be. I would have to assume it would be Chris Archer. Put that money to use, even if it's not being used well. You still got to use it. So I assume Chris Archer is going to be their one. Maybe James Taillon. I really don't know. In the hitters department, they have Brian Reynolds and Josh Bell, but after that, not too much. At number four, I have the Chicago Cubs. The pitching is it's just so up and down. If you're a Cubs fan, you can't really ever go out and say, oh, Yu Darvish is going to throw for 10 Ks and only give up 2 runs. And because you can't be too confident in those guys just because they're so up and down, like I said. He could go out and have 12 strikeouts and no walks and surrender 2 runs. But Yu Darvish is also known to give up 6 runs in the first inning and strike out 9 and walk 2. So, yeah, you never really know what's going to happen with these pitchers. And it's not just Yu Darvish. He was just the name that I took off the top of my head. It's the other guys as well. So, the pitching is very up and down, which does worry me. But on the hitting side, they're still pretty stacked. They have Wilson Contreras, probably third best catcher in the league, if I had to say. Or maybe fourth, actually. I put him definitely top five, though. So Wilson Contreras, it's going to hit you plenty of home runs. They have Javier Baez, defensive beast, Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant as well. So their infield is pretty stacked on the defensive side, along with the hitting side. And they also have the rookie Nico Horner. Not sure what position he'll be playing this season. Maybe second base or outfield. We'll have to see when the season begins. At number three, I have the Milwaukee Brewers. They do have Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain. Lorenzo Cain was one of my favorite players growing up, so I'm glad to see that he's still going strong. And they also have Ryan Braun. They did lose Mike Moustakas to the Reds. And the pitching, Josh Hader, he can be the best closer in the league if he wants to. But he has been known to surrender a few too many runs occasionally, but I mean that rarely happens. So yeah, Josh Hader is a great player and will be a great closer and player altogether for years to come. Number two spot, I have the St. Louis Cardinals. They have a very, very solid infield in Paul Goldschmidt, Paul DeJong, Colton Wong. They did lose Marcell Ozuna to the Braves. And on the pitching side, they're also pretty good. They have Jack Flaherty, Miles Michaelis, Carlos Martinez, but they did lose their closer, throwing 106, Jordan Hicks. He opted out due to the virus. But overall, pretty solid squad. Don't expect them to go too far in the playoffs, but I still do like the team. And at the number one spot in the NL Central, I have the Cincinnati Reds. And if I were to choose a second favorite team right now, I would have to go with Cincinnati. They have so many fun players to watch, but they also have so many good players, so that makes them so likable. Michael Lorenzen, Aristides Aquino, Mike Moustakas, Shogo Akiyama, Joey Votto, Nick Castellanos. If that team were to play a whole season together, 162 games, I think they would beat the Twins' record set last year for home runs hit in one season. Wouldn't surprise me one bit. I listed all those hitters, but the pitching is pretty solid as well. Luis Castillo could definitely make a Cy Young candidacy run. Trevor Bauer as well, and Sonny Gray on that squad. So yeah, all around, pretty solid team. And finally, capping off my predictions for standings is going to be the National League West. Starting off in last place, I have the San Francisco Giants. They did lose their two best players. Buster Posey opted out. Will Smith, they lost due to free agency. And even if he was with them, he does have the virus currently. So he most likely wouldn't be playing in the first few games. So I wouldn't say it affected them, but I would say it really wouldn't have mattered if they kept him right now, for this season at least. Mike Yastrzemski, Hunter Pence, are those the two guys you want leading your team? I wouldn't say so. So I don't know. And they also lost Madison Bumgarner, so I mean, it's tough to say where this team is going to land when it comes to the overall. They're going to be battling with the Orioles and the Seattle Mariners for last place. Should be a fun race. But ultimately, I would have to say that the San Francisco Giants will be the worst team in the league this season. The number four spot, I have the Colorado Rockies. The left half of the infield is insanely good with Nolan Arenado and Trevor Story, both on my fantasy team. I'm proud to say that. Really excited about that squad. But the other half, second base and first base, not so much. And if we're being honest, pitching never does well in Colorado. So John Gray, if he's able to put together a stretch of good games and stay healthy, I think he has the talent to be a very, very good pitcher. But he can never just string together a few good starts together. And I think that's his problem. And coming in at third in the National League West, I have the Arizona Diamondbacks. They added Madison Bumgarner from the San Francisco Giants. They called up Zach Gallen, and they still have Robbie Ray. So I think that trio and the pitching staff is going to be pretty well. They still have Ketel Marte and Starling Marte. Ketel Marte, he kind of came out of nowhere last season and is now considered a top five second baseman in the league, which I would have to agree with. And they also have David Peralta, who's been solid and underrated his whole career. And also Tim LeCastro. And here's the thing about Tim LeCastro. If you want, not saying you should do it, but if you want a chance at winning like $1 million-ish, I'd say, go ahead, put on Tim LeCastro's name a $15 bet for MVP. Because, I mean, he has all the tools to do it. It's just a matter of, can he put them together? And crazy things are going to happen in this short season. So, do it if you want. You probably can't even do that anymore because betting odds for the MVP are closed, probably. Anyway, probably should delete this segment. But I think it's, he's like the darkest of the horse MVP candidates, if that makes any sense. I probably sound so stupid right now, but I'm keeping this in. At number two in the NL West, I have the San Diego Padres. They do have some young guys who I really, really like. Fernando Tatis, Chris Paddock, Manny Machado, Mackenzie Gore, Kirby Yates. He's a bit older, but still a beast. Should have won closer to the year last season, but that's for a different episode. San Diego in the number two spot. I don't think they're going to go far in the playoffs, but I still think they'll have a good regular season. On a number one, big shocker, I have the Los Angeles Dodgers. They did lose a Cy Young winner, which would hurt a team, except this team has Walker Buehler and Dustin May and Clayton Kershaw. And they also added Mookie Betts, who just got a crazy contract worth for 12 years, $385 million. So, yeah, they lost a Cy Young winner, added an MVP winner. It's a very Dodgers thing to do. So, and of course, they still have Cody Bellinger and Max Muncy and Will Smith on the catcher. Yeah, they're building an all-star team over there in Los Angeles. So, yeah. I find myself never being able to close out an episode correctly, so I'm going to try my best to do that now. Look forward to next week's episode, maybe sooner than next week's episode, for awards predictions, playoff predictions, and I'm also going to review my fantasy baseball team. I did redraft those as well. I drafted a team, it's like a family league, and then I did a draft with the guys on Instagram from Fantasy Baseball Experts. Those guys, they invited me to join their league, which I was very happy about. And I think I have a good shot at winning that league. It would be awesome to beat a guy whose Instagram handle is Fantasy Baseball Expert. So, yeah, look forward to all those episodes. Turn all your post notifications on, all that stuff. This has been episode number 17 of the Lunch Table Talk podcast. Stay tuned for episode 18. Bye. I'm going to go watch baseball now.